Translation purple by Srila Prabhupada. When the doorman of Vaikuntha Loka, who were certainly devotees of the Lord, found that they were going to be cursed by the Brahmanas, they at once became very much afraid and fell down at the feet of the Brahmanas in great anxiety. For a Brahmana's curse cannot be counteracted by any kind of weapon. Translation purple. Although by chance the doorman committed a mistake by checking the Brahmanas from entering the gate of Vaikuntha, they were at once aware of the gravity of the curse. There are many kinds of offences, but the greatest offence is to offend a devotee of the Lord. Because the doormen were also devotees of the Lord, they were able to understand their mistake and were terrified when the four Kumaras were ready to curse them. Om Agyanati Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshu Sumilitam Jena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Shri Jaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Gudamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Namam Vishnu Badaya Krishna Bastaya Bhutale Shimati Bhakti Vidanta Swami Itiramine Namaste Sarasvati Devam Gauravani Pacharine Nivaje Sasunyavadi Pastacha Desatanine Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Sivasati Gaura Bhakta Vinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pastaya Bhutale Shrimati Shivaram Swami Tinamine Vancha Kaupa Trubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhyevacha Patitanam Pavenibhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha. So there's a lot of cursing going on here. So there's two things I'm going to speak about, which I mentioned in the translation. The first thing is getting the mercy of the sadhus, the Vaishnavas. And the second thing is anxiety. Because as we can see in this translation, after finding out that they were going to be cursed and sent to the material world, the doorkeepers, they did two things. They bowed down at the lotus feet of the four Kumaras, but they were in great anxiety. So when curses are done, they usually go a certain direction. You get cursed, you beg for forgiveness, and then the third one is there's usually a benediction that goes with it. Only if you're getting cursed by devotees. If you're getting cursed by demons, then you're in big trouble. There's no benediction. So this pastime is slightly different because it's pure devotees cursing pure devotees, which is unusual. Because if you read the Bhagavatam, it's usually pure devotees cursing non-devotees or materialistic devotees. Or materialistic people cursing pure devotees. But you never get pure devotees cursing pure devotees. And there's no benediction in this curse either. Why wouldn't there be a benediction? This is a question. Anyone want to answer it? Why wouldn't there be a benediction in this curse? Yeah, that's right. Yeah, because a benediction usually takes you from one level to a higher level. Just like when Narada Muni cursed the two sons of Kuvira. He cursed them to become trees in the... So they became trees in the courtyard of Nanda Maharaj. And there they saw Krishna's pastimes as a child. And just by seeing these pastimes, they became purified. They became pure devotees, and then Krishna came and freed them from the curse. But in this situation, they're already nitya siddha. They're already eternally liberated souls. And they're already engaging in their eternal service to Krishna. So therefore, there is nothing higher than that. So there's no need to give him a benediction. So this pastime is not it's not an ordinary pastime in the sense that it's all arranged by the Supreme Lord. And also another thing, when they cursed the doorkeepers at that point, they weren't pure devotees, they were still impersonalists, right? So you could say, well, they weren't pure devotees when they cursed, so it wasn't pure devotees cursing pure devotees. But the four Kumaras they're also Nitya Siddhas, they're also eternally liberated souls. And they're also playing a part. Them being impersonalists is just temporary. It still stands as them, that curse still stands as them being pure devotees, because that's their eternal position. So in Vrindavan, in Vraj, there are 12 forests. Vrindavan is the main forest, the forest of Vrinda, Tulsi. There's Tulsi growing everywhere. And the biggest forest is Kamyavam. And kam means desire. In other words, if you go to this forest, all your desires will be fulfilled. If you have material desires, materialists can have those filled. But the devotees can have their spiritual desires fulfilled, which is the most important thing. And kamya means ponds and groves. There's beautiful ponds, groves. This is one of the most beautiful forests. So Krishna, he regularly goes there with his friends to enjoy pastimes. When they get there, they climb the trees and they pick the luscious fruits and they eat them. And then they throw the fruits at each other. And then they bathe in those ponds which are full of unlimited varieties of lotus flowers. And Krishna, sometimes he dresses like a rainbow, different colors. He wears a yellow dhoti, a blue belt, orange chadar, and a blue turban. And he has a Vijayanti garland and ankle bells and bracelets. So he looks like a rainbow. So when the gopis look at him, even though they're spending so much time with Krishna, when they look at Krishna sometimes, they're amazed. They're stunned at how beautiful Krishna is. So this forest is visited by many saints and sadhus. So once Devarsha Muni visited this forest in Satya Yuga, and whilst he was sleeping, a young boy from the heavenly planets came down and he cut one of Devarsha Muni's locks of hair just to keep as a souvenir to show his friends, show off. Look, I've got Devarsha Muni's hair. Look, wow. So then Devarsha Muni woke up and he said, oh, he said, you like crawling around and causing mischief. So I curse you to become a crocodile for 4 ages. He said, and the boy, he begged for forgiveness. He said, oh, please don't. So Devarsha Muni's heart kind of softened and he said, okay. He said, when the lord of this forest comes down and takes birth in Navadvipa as a son of Mother Sachi, he will liberate you by the Harinam Sankirtan. So the boy, he assumed the form of a crocodile and he took residence in a lake in Godrumadweep. And he waited a very, very, very long time. And in the meantime, he was causing trouble to animals and humans and doing all sorts of bad things. So then the 4 yugas came to an end, and one day Nimai Pandit, as a little boy, he came to Godrumadweep with his friends. And the people were saying, don't go anywhere near the lake. There's a giant crocodile in the lake. But Nimai Pandit didn't listen. He ran towards the lake and he was chanting, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. And the crocodile immediately came out and he touched Lord Chaitanya's, or Nimai Pandit's, lotus feet and immediately assumed the form as a boy again. And then he told Lord Chaitanya about the curse, not that you wouldn't already have known about it. And then he glorified Lord Chaitanya. And then he went to the heavenly planets to say goodbye to his parents. Because Devarsha Muni had given him a benediction that he would go back to Godhead. So actually, we are all cursed because we're in this material world. It's a curse to be here. And this material world is not a very nice place. It's full of misery, anxiety, and suffering, you know. And sometimes people, they may say to us, "Oh, you Hare Krishnas, you're just so pessimistic all the time, you know. Why don't you chill out, you know?" But then we would say to them, "Well, you are intoxicated by the material energy." Because they're thinking, people in this world are thinking that they're going to be happy forever. And they're going to live forever. It's like they're building a house, they're doing all these things. It's like building a cage in a prison and thinking you're going to be happy forever. But actually, if you think about it, the material world is full of misery and anxiety and fear. And in between the misery, the anxiety and the fear is a little thing called happiness. It's just a tiny bit. And because of that little, tiny little bit of happiness in between the fear, anxiety and misery, they think, oh, great. So this is the illusory energy, Maya's just tricking people to think, oh, it's such a nice place. But actually, the devotees are the true optimists, because only we have the key to get rid of this curse of being in this material world. Because the devotee sees everything in relationship to Krishna, and when you see everything in relationship to Krishna, then you can use everything in Krishna's service. And therefore, the material world, actually, it can be a beautiful place if you look at it like that. Even though, so we see with one eye, we see the misery, and with the other eye, we see it's actually a good place because everything's Krishna's energy. Actually, Lord Chaitanya came to release us from the curse. The curse of being in this material world. At the end of the translation there, it says, there's no weapon that can counteract a Brahmana's curse. But there is. Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan movement is the weapon. There was one Brahmana, and he wanted to join in the nocturnal prema kirtan in Srivasa Thakur's house, and they refused to let him in. So the next day, Lord Chaitanya was at the Ganges bathing, and this Brahmana, he came up to Lord Chaitanya and he was angry, and he broke his Brahman thread. He said, "I curse you to never be happy in this material world." And upon hearing this, Lord Chaitanya was overjoyed with bliss. And Prabhupada says in the purport, he says, "How can anyone curse Lord Chaitanya? He's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. No one can curse him. Only ordinary conditioned souls can be cursed and go to the abode of Yamaraj." And then Prabhupada says, "If anyone understands this point and hears this pastime, then they become freed from the curse of a Brahmana." So Lord Chaitanya Sankirtan movement is the key of becoming free from this curse of being in this material world. So the two doorkeepers, they bow down to the lotus feet of the four Kumaras in great anxiety. So one may question, how can this anxiety in Vaikuntha? Because Vai means without, and Kunta means anxiety. Only this material world is Kunta, a world of anxiety. So why were they in anxiety? Because their anxiety was that they're having to come to this material world, and in they may forget Krishna. That was their anxiety. Our anxiety is based on this material body. So when Krishna leaves for the forest in the morning, with his coward boyfriends, all the Vrindavan Vasis, they follow Krishna because they know he's going to be leaving. So he gets to the edge of the village and then he stops and he turns around and he says, now you have to let me go and you carry on doing your daily duties, whatever you have to do. So then Krishna carries on walking and the Brajavasis, they remain standing there like statues, it's explained. And they keep watching until they can see the last bit of dust from the cow's hooves. And then they, what do they do then? Astakalya Leela, Smarana. See, Krishna's pastimes are divided into eight sections. And Krishna going to the forest is one of the pastimes throughout the day. So now they're remembering all of Krishna's daily activities. And they're glorifying Krishna. So this is Sankirtan. They're performing Sankirtan, glorifying Krishna. And then the gopis are thinking, Krishna's lotus feet are so soft. They're thinking that Krishna's lotus feet are even too soft to be placed on our breasts. But he's in the forest, and there's sharp thorns and stones and things like that. And they're thinking like this, and they're getting so much anxiety that they fall unconscious on the floor. And even Mother Yashoda is in anxiety and fear because she's worried that Krishna's going to get attacked by wild animals or demons are going to come and attack Krishna. So before Krishna leaves, she asks two of the elder gopas to take care of him. She says, can you stand on either side of Krishna and protect him? So the gopis are representing the highest form of spiritual anxiety, actually. They're representing the highest form of spiritual anxiety. Because this material world is full of anxiety. You can't get away from it. Right? You can never get away from fear, anxiety, and misery, these things. Prabhupada says, okay, so how do we deal with it? How do we get rid of these things? Prabhupada says you have to give your attachments to Krishna. In other words, be attached to Krishna. But the moment we're attached to this material body, and the material body and everything connected to it, and with those attachments to the material body comes anxiety, misery, and the fear. Those three things. Just like we're fearful that I might get diseased and I'm getting old and one day we're going to die. So that's a fearful situation. And then there's an unlimited amount of things we can be fearful about. So many. But if we transfer this attachment, just like the gopis are, to Krishna, and his anxieties, then we can overcome it. Of course, the gopis are very, very advanced. We're not on that platform. One Satsuri Maharaj asked Prabhupada the question. He said, we are all neophytes. And how do we know that the anxiety I'm feeling in my devotional service is not material anxiety? And Prabhupada said, he said, if you're feeling anxiety for your service, that's spiritual. Just like the mother is always anxious for the well-being of her child. Prabhupada said, because why is that? Because there's love. So if we feel some anxiety in our service, then that's because there's some love there. It may not be pure love, but there's some love there. I remember many years ago, we used to do, when we were brahmacharis, we were out on book distribution, and we should sell books at these air shows. Eddie Guru's laughing because he knows. And there was one particular air show, it's called Mildon Hall, and it was an American Air Force base. And so we would go there and sell books. This was just outside Cambridge. They didn't want us there, but we went anyway. And the military police, they would go around on quad bikes. And sometimes they would start chasing the devotees. Were you there at that time? So they're chasing the devotees on these quad bikes. And we would hide under the cars. And there was one devotee, actually a god brother of mine, Dharani Dar. They were chasing him, and he was very clever. He took his shirt off and he lay down pretending to be sunbathing. So they asked him, they said, have you seen any Hare Krishnas running around? He said, no, I was just sunbathing like that. So it was like a scene from the Great Escape movie. Has anybody seen that movie? But the point I'm trying to make is, we were in anxiety because you're distributing books, you're speaking to someone, but at the same time you're having to look around at, you know, these guys coming on these bikes, and a lot of the festivals we did were like that. You know, you had to have one eye on the person and another eye, you know, to have eyes at the back of your head, basically. But that anxiety, it was because it was directed towards your service and directed towards Krishna, then you no longer felt so much anxiety directed to the material body or yourself. You forget about that anxiety, and now you've got a different type of anxiety, but it's a spiritual anxiety. But anxiety you cannot get rid of being in this material world. That's a fact. But we simply have to transfer it. So praying to Krishna for anxiety is a good thing, actually. Let us be, Prabhupada said that we have to be engaged 24/7. I know I'm saying that now. I'm not engaged 24/7. But if you're not physically engaged, at least you should be mentally engaged. In other words, as you get older, you're not engaging in physical devotional service as much when you're young. But the devotional service is more smaranam, becomes more internal. And that accounts for the 24 hours a day service. So let us be anxious to engage in service. Right? Does anybody have any anxiety about when they're doing their service? I know the pujaris do, because I've done it. I used to wear the deities up. You wait to do this up in the morning. That's the most anxiety service, I can tell you. I did it for a while. Because if you don't wake up, then no one's going to wake the deities up. And then the devotees would be waiting for Mangalati and the curtain just wouldn't open. And sometimes I even went Saturday night Harinam, And then the next Sunday, I would have to wait the deities up. So I would only get like 3 hours sleep. But actually, I couldn't sleep. Always, you just sleep with one eye open, you know. You're in anxiety that the clock's not going to go off, the alarm clocks. And sometimes I would wake up and check and make sure that I actually set my alarm clock. Anyway, I had to stop doing it. It got too much. All glory to the devotees who are still doing it. I think Govinda does it, right? Once every 2 weeks. But it is an intense service. But that anxiety is blissful. Blissful, isn't it, Antaranga? No? It is. You did it every day in COVID. Actually, it's better if you do it every day than once a week because your body clock's kind of tuned in. Yeah, there you go. Yeah. And I remember the book distribution we used to do and getting chased by the police and all this. It was nectar. It was like, there was nothing better than that. But now I'm too old to be chased by the police. When you're young, it's all right. You can get away with it. People may start talking now. So Prabhupada said the whole scheme is that you have to transfer your attachment to Krishna. This is called bhakti yoga. So this is what the doorkeepers are trying to do. You know, they're begging at the lotus feet of the four Kumaras and they're in anxiety. Yeah. So then the Lord comes out. He comes rushing out because he knows what's happening. In the Bhagavad Gita it says, Krishna says, my devotee never perishes. He's worried. So he comes out. And then upon smelling the saffron and tulsi on the Lord's lotus feet, the four Kumaras, they immediately get rid of their impersonal conception of life and become pure devotees. But then Lord Narayan says, he says to the four Kumaras, he said, it was good that you chastised my servants. They shouldn't have treated you like that. And then the Lord says to the doorkeepers, he says, you go down to the material world, but don't worry, I will protect you. So the process for getting rid of these attachments is service to the pure devotee. Excuse me. Nesam is a verse, Srimad Bhagavatam 7.5.32. Nesam atista vatta rukramangarim. You know that verse? Yeah. Sprisiti anata bhagamo yat ataha. Mahiyasam padaraja abhishekam. Yeah. Niskinchananam navrinita yavat. So, this is a very nice verse. It says, unless human society takes the dust from the lotus feet of the Mahatmas, then the Mahatmas are those who have no material possessions. Then unless human society takes dust from the lotus feet of the Mahatmas, then they cannot turn to the lotus feet of Lord Krishna. Those lotus feet which eradicate all unwanted miseries of material life. So, anatta pagamo. Anatta, the anattas in the heart are very deeply rooted. So by taking the dust, abhishekam, pada abhishekam, having an abhishek with the dust of the lotus feet, anatta, with these unwanted things in the heart, these anxieties, miseries, fear, It all goes away. Like that. Shushu sadhanana sevasudeva kataruchi. Siant mahat sevaya. Punya tirtana sevana. By rendering service unto the lotus feet of the pure devotees. By serving those who are completely free from all vice, great service is done. And through that service, one attains affinity for hearing the message of Vasudev. So this is the process. Serve the pure devotee, and you develop a taste for hearing about Krishna. And when you hear about Krishna's messages, all those dirty things in the heart become eradicated. In Hari Bhakti Vilas, Srila Sanatana Goswami is talking about 64 items, Hari Bhakti Vilas. Srila Rupa Goswami also elaborates in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. And out of those 64 items, there's 5 items which are most important. Number one, to Guru Padashraya, to approach and surrender to the lotus feet of a bona fide spiritual master. Number two, to take initiation from him. Three, to carry out his order with love and devotion. Four, to inquire from the spiritual master on how we can advance in Krishna consciousness. And five, to follow in the footsteps of the previous acharyas under the guidance of the bona fide spiritual master. So I've ordered 64 items. It said that these 5 are most important. It's like having a solid foundation. And then if the foundation is solid, then the building is also going to be solid. A dodgy foundation and the building can fall down. So this is most important. And there's that verse, Tat Vidhi Pranipatena, Parispasena Sevaya, Upadyakshi Te Gyanam Ganinas Tattva Darshina, in the Bhagavad Gita. Just try to approach a bona fide spiritual master, take initiation from him, inquire from him submissively, render service. A self-realized soul will impart knowledge unto you because he has seen the truth. Yeah. Pranipatena, to approach the spiritual master. Sevaya. Parispasena, inquiry. So this is the process. It's a very scientific process. If we follow it properly, then everything will be revealed. When Prakashya Maharaj was just about to get bitten by the bird, which is coming because of the curse of the Brahmin, he said, "What have?" He's accepted everything. He said to the Brahmanas present, he says, "Even if I have to take birth again in this material world, I ask for 3 things." What are those 3 things you ask for? Number one, he said that I may always be engaged in the devotional service of the Lord. Number two, I always be in the association of devotees. Number three, that he will always have a favorable disposition towards all living entities. Right? Those 3 things he asked for. So, yeah. So if we serve the Mahatmas, the advanced devotees, with all our faith and love, then all these anxiety, misery, and fear will go away. It's the only way you can get rid of it. Because the devotees are dear to Krishna. And Krishna can absorb unlimited amounts of fear and anxiety of this material world. And then we can be peaceful. And then finally go back to Godhead where there's no more, where there is anxiety. but it's not a type of anxiety as it is in this material world. Spiritual anxiety, just like the gopis. Hare Krishna. I'm going to stop here. Is there any questions, comments? You got a comment?
Obtained this knowledge, you will see that all living beings are part of the Supreme and they belong to me. And that's an interesting thing. This belonging to me means belonging in a loving relationship with me. And that all living beings are part of the Supreme, whether they be so-called evil or so-called good or transcendental, they still belong to him and they're all dear to him. It's just they're playing different roles.
Yeah. Thank you. Panjitav? In a minute.
Sorry. Thanks, Guru. I'm just wondering, the name Vaikuntha, if we understand the spiritual world, Vaikuntha is the ultimate reality. And this material world is a relative place. But the name Vaikuntha seems to be something you could only call it if you're in the material world. If you're in the spiritual world where there's no anxiety, apart from transcendental anxiety, you're not going to call the place no anxiety place.
So what's the question?
Is that its eternal name, or is that just a name for those of us who are trying to reach there?
No, it's going to be eternal. I mean, these names and personalities, they're all eternal. It's not like... Yeah, of course. They have to be. It has to be eternal. It's an eternal abode. It's mentioned, Vaikuntha, the word Vaikuntha is mentioned in all the scriptures, especially Srimad Bhagavatam. They know exactly what it is. Adi,
Prabhu, what you said, we have to serve the Mahatmas and such force. So, what is the actual? What does that really mean? What do we do, and what does it look like?
What does it look like to serve the Mahamas?
I mean, what practically, what does it mean?
Prabhupada said, serving the devotee means hearing. You have to hear from the devotee. And by hearing from the devotee, that those messages, they go into the ears and straight to the heart. And of course, through that speech, they may also give us an order as well. They may also give us some service. You do this, you do that. But serving means to hear with attention. Just like Prabhupada was noted by Bhaktisiddhanta because he was very good at hearing. Right? Didn't Bhaktisiddhanta say, I've noted that. Boy, he can hear. Prabhupada never used to leave. I mean, some Bhaktisiddhanta would give classes for hours and hours sometimes, right? Govinda?
Just on that point, I was recently reading, there was something like, I don't know, it was something like about 500 devotees. And, you know, most of them went on parikram, and about 20 or something stayed back and listened to the spiritual master. And I was thinking, it's quite astonishing that they had this great spiritual master, but nearly everyone would rather go in parikram than listen to him. I think it's quite amazing.
Yeah.
Of course, Prabhupada was one of them that listened.
Yes, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. On the note of curses, so we were the other day on Sankirtan and I had to go to the restroom and McDonald's was close by, so I went. And it's just terrible, like, they have pictures of what they're eating, like the portions of the animals, and I become so angry. And I start to contemplate, like, why the Brahmanas, they just don't curse them. Like, we see these stories, the curse would just change the story, like, by snap of finger. And Krishna is obliged to fulfill the wish, the desire of pure devotee, and they were, and they are pure devotees. So why they just don't curse these demons like that?
Why they don't curse the demons? Because the demons have free will. What are you saying? Lord Chaitanya? Yeah. Govinda.
The thing is, out of respect for Parikshit Maharaj, who gave Kali four places to reside. So, Kali, he's been given, as pure devotee, Parikshit Maharaj has said, Kali, you can reside where there's meat eating, gambling, etc. So, it's Kali, it's the wish of the Lord that these cycles go. So, we have to accept that. We can't just.
But you see, the Sankirtan movement.
Not powerful enough to curse.
Sankirtan movement is the only thing which is ridding the world of that kind of ignorance. Right? Just like when we go in Harinam, people, whether they got a choice or not, they have to hear the holy name. Right? Sometimes they do that. But we got a secret weapon. It's called a PA system. We just turn the volume up. So, yeah, Ali.
I'm just thinking, following up on this point, Maharaj Parikshit, you know, he was torturing the cow, Kali, and Maharaj Parikshit forgave him and allowed, you know, him to live in these places. And I forgot what I was going to say before that. So Balaram, it's his business to destroy the universe. When he gets so angry, he's had enough of everything, then he destroys the universe. It's not our business. Our business is to serve and tolerate and be compassionate and serve the Lord. When Balaram gets so angry, he's had enough of the material universe, then he destroys it through Ananta Shesh and Lord Shiva. And there's a verse like that in the Bhagavatam. It's not us to get angry. We have to tolerate.
Joy. Jantara Shrimad Bhagavatam Ki.
Premanava Prabhu Ki Jai.